Holy Spirit's going to remind us. I believe there's even some of us that, you know, we're going to hear. We're anointing our ears to hear. The Lord says, in the midnight hour, He's going to move. And there are some awesome teachings that some of the, this far that we know of, that Sister Barbara has labored, you know, with our upcoming women and young women, with getting them filled with a word and strong. And as others of the pastors and the elders' wives heard about this, they're asking her to come and bring that. And God is going to give you, Sister Barbara, the wisdom to be able to share. We're living in the days of it's mass production now. Amen. I believe that there's going to be deliverance and great and mighty young men and women arising. So we thank God and we ask you to bless this word, God. We love you so much. We love our pastors so much. And we're so grateful for every woman here tonight. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. Bless your word. Be seated. Man, and thank you, team, that has made tonight as beautiful as it is. Saying yes, we're here. Today is Memorial Day, right? Soldiers, the soldiers came out sacrificing. I know it's a time that, you know, we're a sacrifice. Real quick, I'll say, I'm not saying any names, but just saying, I talked to somebody that words are powerful. Words are very powerful. You know that? Words, we can speak words of life. We can speak words of death. And somebody shared with me saying, why are you doing this tonight on a holiday? People are out there barbecuing. They'd rather be with family. Why would somebody do that? I mean, come on. You know, I said, you know what? If there's one, if there's a thousand, God's going to minister and share. And I'm going to share this. I was blessed studying it. And I said, the soldiers will appear. They're out here. The foot soldiers are here. So with that, hallelujah. Well, I have the privilege of being able to share about Naomi. And I love Christian women, the studying of studying the biblical women. I like to hear about their negatives and their positives, their ups, their downs, their ins, their outs. I've got a book called Bad Girls of the Bible. Woohoo! Bad to the bone. You know, some of them were bad to the bone. Consequently, there was something like, you know, these Jezebels, and that, you know, they would have had a chance to turn around and come to the Lord. But, you know, some of them were bad to the bone, like the women at the well. You know, they were out there doing like me, like you. But God's called them. And Naomi, she's a special woman. She was a fighter, you know. And she is true to the word that states, I believe it's in Numbers, about the coming down of the temple. And decreed that many of us, as we walk in this life, we start out in a honeymoon. I'm going to share a little bit. We're in love with God. We forgive everybody. God's blessing us. Mwah. Huh? And we're just, hallelujah, nothing bothers us. God's answering all our prayers. And then along came, you know, real life. Amen? Real life. And Naomi, give you a little bit of a background about her. And, you know, Naomi and in the book of Ruth, they were... they're known even in the world as devotional characters, love and romance. Everything is in the book of Ruth. Romance, sorrow, suffering, fairy tale ending, you know, ups and downs. And of course, that statement by Ruth, her daughter-in-law. Beautiful statement that she made, and we're going to be sharing that. But what I want to bring about today is the changes that Naomi went through, because we all go through changes. We start out in love, and we stay in love. And it's a honeymoon love, but then we go into the stages of some reality, life, the enemy. As our sister was talking about, Natalie, the deceivement of the enemy. And Naomi went through that. And in that, just one moment, I'm gonna put my timer on. There's a lot here, and I'm going to read some stuff here, do some teaching here. A little background about Naomi. Naomi was wife of Elimelech. I followed suit. I figured that I had always pronounced these names wrong, and I was. So his name is Elimelech. Amen. He was an Israelite and of the Hebrew nation, and so was Naomi. Elimelech was thought to have belonged to one of the outstanding families in Israel, being the brother of Solomon. Not Solomon, but Solomon. He was a prince of Judah, Solomon, and guess who Solomon married? Woohoo! Twilight treasure! Rahab! Woohoo! I love that. I said there's a connection here tonight. I thought, wow, this is way too cool. Another Rahab story. This is good. Twilight treasures. And so, if this was true, which many believe, Naomi started her married life and family strong and in comfortable circumstances. Being in the echelon of princes and princesses and a nice background there. Now, the name Naomi means my joy, my bliss, or pleasantness of Jehovah. And we need to understand, we've heard this before, that when they, in the Hebrews, Israelites, were given names, they didn't just give a name to distinguish one from another. They gave them their family names of what they wanted and hoped for and desired. And then some of those names, I thought, well, why then some of them did they have names like, pain, Jabez, right? Meaning bringing pain, to bring pain. Because, again, those names were something that they prayed against, that they would never have to enter in to that realm. Well, we talked about the honeymoon. And, I'm sure things were well. They lived in Bethlehem, Judah. And that meant filled with bread. That Judah and where they lived was filled with bread. The blessings of God was upon them. They were God's blessings upon the Hebrews. But because of sin and those of the Hebrew going into idolatrous ways of the world and walking away from their faith, it was said in Deuteronomy, Numbers, that the drought came forth and a famine because of punishment. Why? Because God wanted to bury them and get rid of them? No. That they would look up to God turn from their wicked ways, repent, and seek God once again. Now, Naomi's husband, he made a mistake, a big one. He left the home of bread because of the drought and famine and decided he was going to swing over 30 miles down the road, which was a long ways back in that time, to Moab, which was a very, very wicked city, idolatrous, wicked. But you know, the land over there was fertile and lush. Who does that remind us of? Abraham's nephew Lot, right? That was the place also where Lot was given a choice by his uncle to choose where he wanted to go. And where did he go? He chose the world where it looked lush and fertile and went there. And we know what happened. Soon after that, he got caught up, a little bit of compromise there and compromise there. But because of the goodness of God, God spared him. But his wife turned back. But you know, there was intermarrying and so on and so on. And this is why God, the Moabites, were very wicked in the sight of God. And God, there was a Jewish law that they should not marry, be unequally yoked and marry into the idolatrous countries. Well, she left with her husband. But I feel that many times in, you know, in reading that, that many of us have gone, he erred, he left, he went to the world where it looked good and there was plenty. But the irony of that is where he thought the land of plenty was, is where he died very shortly after that. Can you, and I believe that Naomi's pain, she may have not, just consider, really wanting to go. But because husband said so, and being obedient to the husband, and moving, you know, she followed. And I think there was a pain that stuck in her heart going. There was changes. That first change, she had to leave her family. She had to leave friends, faith of having the gathering. We love, God says, forsake not the gathering of people. But they moved on into Moab over there where it was a foreign land to her. So here, change number one there. There was, so her husband's name meant this. Her husband, Elimelech, meant, my God is king. He was named that, but he was not acting out in that belief. And that's painful when a family member or a husband or whatever, or possibly even her, stops believing and makes some radical changes. That was a change for her. The word Moab meant waste or nothingness. And I want to stop there just for a moment today, because sometimes the enemy, and I'm not going to give the enemy a lot of glory here tonight. He comes, he tempts us, and he tells us to stay away, but we have to make a choice. So her life is about choices, changes and choices, and how we're going to react to that. It's sometimes easier to start feeling sorry for ourselves when we're in pain, when we're hurting. We don't want to have to feel the pain. But God is saying, I want you to make a stand. You're going to stand even when that you feel like your life is going into that Moab country where there's wastelands and you don't feel the hand of God is there and you're not feeling the bread is flowing. And we're going to be tested. Let's not judge Naomi and her husband. They had some sickly sons. It said that Mahlon and Kilion, which I thought was Chilion. It's Kilion. They were sickly, the Bible goes on to say. You know, but for whatever reasons, they made the choice that was a wrong choice. But you know, even when we're not involved with that choice that maybe other people make, life happens with us. And God is telling us through Naomi's life, stand strong. And even though she went over there and she had that pain in her heart, there was something about her that attracted her two sons. So let's back up a minute. She has to leave her home, her surroundings, her life filled by the goodness of God, goes into this place, loses her husband. Well, thanks a lot. Followed you over here, and now you go die on me. I can relate to that. Happened to me. Not that Albuquerque was Moab, but just saying. I had left my comfortable life. Well, I say, you know, because God wanted to teach me some things as I moved. But now, after her husband dies, her two sons, instead of taking care of her and going out and making sure that she was taken care of, because that's what the sons were supposed to do, because widows had nobody to take care of her. The sons took the place. They go and marry two Moabites. Heathens! Woohoo! Heathens. Another stab in the heart. Because God's word said, don't intermarry. Be not unequally yoked. But God. Say, but God. Even in our mistakes, even in our sin, even in our pain and our hurting, God gave her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. Still the pain. The pain and the hurt. I'm expressing that because why Naomi said when she went back to her land, because she had an open ear, she never fully closed up, she heard God was blessing the land of Bethlehem, but now she was without her sons and her husbands, and she had two daughters. But you know what? Those two daughters, they said, Naomi, we want to go back with you. We want to go back with you to your homeland. You know what they were stating? I'm leaving Moab, my old life. We've heard through you and watched you, even in your pain and in your hurting, you had an ear out for the Lord, that you would talk about the Lord. You loved us unconditionally. Loved us unconditionally. We weren't even your people. And they desired, they said, we're going with you. So they walked out. They walked out to the city gate. Now, that had to be a sight. Picture it. Three widowed women standing at the city gate. Naomi, I'm sure she was, the enemy would come, and in her mind, she was hurting, she was in pain, she was at loss, she was condemned for forsaking her God, she felt, and probably her God felt that way about her, but she knew the truth inside, and that's what drew her. She got up and made it. That's a point I want to make. In the midst of our mess, we can stand up when we know our God and what and who he says we are. We are his children. No matter what we've done, if we come to him and profess and go back to him as they were symbolically doing, Naomi returning back to her God and her country and her faith that she always knew and loved. Now, though, decision. She was even trying to talk her daughters into maybe you should go back. Because. Was she testing their faith? I don't know. Was she honestly saying, I want you to be happily married again, and you going over there, no Israelites are probably going to marry you because God's word says no, 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 not to intermarry. Whatever it was, one said, Orpah, I'm going back. And she kissed and she cried. And those two there represent our commitment and our... One was a professor to the Lord. She professed, I'll leave and go to your God and with you. That was Orpah. But Ruth, she was a possessor. I'm possessing by faith what you said, and nothing is going to take me away from you. She's the one. Ruth made a statement. Don't urge me to go back and ever leave you. I'm going to paraphrase it. Don't urge me to ever leave you and to go back. I will go where you go. Your God will be my God. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. And God severely punish me if I should ever be separated from you, even by death. What a commitment. I hope we're all professors here tonight. I mean possessors. Not just talking, but walking it. We gotta move on. Gotta move on. So as they went on, it goes on to state that, let me get over here, because I'm gonna close it down. As she came into town, and as they went those 30 miles, which was pretty tough, they had to be pretty tough cookies, just, you know, the desert, walking, no help, no men, they had to provide for themselves, they did it all, her and Ruth. When they walked in, I imagine Naomi kind of walking in. You know how we do when somebody comes back to the Lord? Kind of just walks in feeling condemned and belittled, and I probably don't deserve to be here, and walking in, and, you know, the pain, what she'd gone through was shown on her face, the hurt, the loss. And there goes the ladies in the cities. Is that Naomi? Oh, let's stop right there. God forbid we do that. Oh, my God, look at her. Remember how she went out? Look how she comes in, and, oh, my God. And there Naomi goes, and there's the enemy talking in her ear. Why did I even come back? Why? And, you know, won't labor there, but we need to love unconditionally. Sister Joanne was saying, we're going to be bringing a lot of Twilight Treasures in. They aren't going to look good. They ain't going to smell good. They ain't going to be acting right. You know, they're going to, you know, be out there. And somehow or another, many of us that were there, we kind of forget where we were at. But we got to put on that unconditional love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got to make them feel welcome. But Naomi, she started now a new change of that character started building up. She just walked through. She started smelling. She started seeing. She looked over and said, you know what, God, you gave me Ruth. You know, this gal, what a blessing. You took three from me and gave me this one. Woo! Blessings. And she started moving in, and she started walking back. And, you know, she started hearing about the reaping. The crops were coming. This meant God started setting her and Ruth up. They started hearing, the city and the town did, about this Ruth that stayed with her, that came and that was living with her and professed and possessed her and the God, and that was taking care of her mother-in-law and refused to leave her side. Whoa. Wow. And then Naomi began to remember there was a Boaz. Huh? We talk about that Boaz, some of us waiting for our Boaz. He wasn't a youngster. He wasn't this good-looking guy, you know, dark, handsome, tall. He was an elderly man, a good man, a God-fearing man. And he was a relative. And in the law there, when you lost a husband and your boys, and there was a relative that would take you, widow, as a wife, he would be responsible for you and to take care of you and provide for you. And on top of this, Boaz was real wealthy. He was a gentleman. He loved God. And he heard about Ruth. We got to keep our ears open, Naomi. And godly people, we hear our ears open. We got to keep our ears open and know what's going on and move in that. So it goes on as a fairy tale. As time went on, she began to go because of a law stated that the poor could go and glean in the fields of the wheat and barley. And guess what field she went to? Boaz's. Mm-hmm. And God set it up. God caused these three people to intertwine. It was love, gratefulness, that heart of despair. God started healing. See, this is what happens when we come fully and return back. We don't have to be out there from God. We can be away from God in our mind. When tragedy hits, we can be away from God, sitting in here day in and day out. But God wants to fill us. And he wants to bless us. And oh, the beauty of what took place was this, that they got married, and Obed was born. And Obed was the grandfather of David. And the lineage went on from David on and on to the birth of Jesus Christ, who was born there, the Savior of the world. She had no idea. We have no idea what God is going to do in our life and how he's going to set us up and be victorious and a link to many being saved. She had no idea till she goes to heaven and knows the value of her life and Ruth's life, because she said yes to God and no more selfishness, no more call me Mara, I'm bitter, I'm getting out of that, no more unforgiveness and God, I left full and came back empty. We are not empty. We are vessels filled up with the power of God that are going to go out there and we are going to touch people in our family, out there on the streets, that we have no idea what connection they may have, that it's going to be great. The lineage is great. The lineage is great. Say, my lineage is great. I have a great future. My family does. These Twilight Treasures have a great future. Our homes, our church. So, I'm ending here. And I want to say this. Tonight, as we open up the altars, there's some of us here. I know there is. I gave this. That we need to come before God. And again, we may have to do this over and over and over again. A allow God to change where we're at, what we're thinking. We can go there, but we can't stay parked there. You know what happens to a car that's parked too long at a place? It gets ticketed, and then they come and they take it away, and it goes to the wrecking yard, and it's gone, of no use. We can't stay parked. Every day we got to come to God and say, God, life happened. The enemy tried to come in and take away what you've done in my life. Let's stand. But I chose. I was going to call this changes and choices equal the sum of our outcome. What we choose and the choices we make, we've blown it. God will turn it around as we come back to Him. Not just physically, but in here. He wants to do a mindset. He's getting us ready because we're going to have a boatload of not just Twilight Treasures coming in, but people from all over. We're the army. We are the ones that we are going to finish strong. Can you say this? I'm going to finish this race strong and be a blessing and all that God has called me to do. Father, tonight, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your mercy and your goodness that is brand new each day. That your anger may be only for a moment, but your goodness is for a lifetime. There may be a night of weeping, but joy has come in the morning. God, tonight, do a powerful work through the power of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives. I want to invite you to come up before God and pour out your heart. Some of you may be saying, I feel empty. I was filled at one time, but because of life, because of changes, the lies I listen to, I've gotten empty and I want to be filled back. I'm returning back to the bread of life that can fill me, the one that prepares a table before me in the presence of any drought, any famine, any enemy. God will always take care of us. We must call out and we must believe and we must allow God to fill us. Your life matters. You are wonderfully and fearfully made, every single one of you. You have connections that you don't even have the faintest idea that God has for your life that is going to bring greatness in these last days. Come to these altars. Call out to God. Let God touch you tonight.
I surrender.
Hallelujah.
All to you. Oh.